You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia ora. So sleep. Everyone I know sleeps. We all sleep. Everyone does it. So it doesn't matter if you're a janitor, a homeless man, the richest man in the world. Everyone needs sleep, we are told. So, and we believe too. So last night, while laying down to rest before coming into the BFM this morning and thinking about, geez, I probably haven't had enough sleep this weekend, I thought, and I was also thinking, I don't have anything to do for The Wire tomorrow. How about I do something about sleeping? And it really started to fascinate me about sleeping. I started this morning, I got the Zoom mic out around the BFM offices and got up in people's faces, and I had to ask them a few different questions. So I began by asking them about how much sleep people get per night and how much they really want to have. And then we chatted about napping, and the people were pretty divided about naps, and then also asked them about their theory on sleep. So this is my microphone recordings around the BFM offices.
I probably get like 10 maybe sometimes if I'm lucky.
Normally 6 or 7, but I try to get around 8.
7 to 8 hours per day, and I try for 8.
I tend to get about 5 to 6 hours sleep per day, and I try to get about 6 hours.
That's a high one, because it takes me ages to get to sleep. So I probably get 8 hours.
I try to get as much as I can. Ideal is about 12. But usually I get maybe between, some days 12, some days about, 8, some days it's less, depends on what I'm doing.
5 to 6 hours, you'll normally, I try and get 7 or 8.
Probably 8 hours a day, but I aim for 9.
7, and I try and get 8.
I tend to get about 6.5. I like to get about 7, ideally. Sometimes it's usually more like 5, to be honest. But
I think I average about 5 per day. If I can get 6, I'm happy.
I try to get more, and but I get a lot less.
I love my sleep. I try to get 8. I mean, I'm a bit of an exception to the rule. I oversleep.
I snooze once for 9 minutes.
Normally just 1.
I usually set 1 every 15 minutes, an hour or two before I'm meant to get up.
Just 1.
Oh, Jesus. I set 1, but then I snooze it 5 times usually.
I've had multiple alarm issues in the past, obviously.
4. They all get snoozed.
Nah, I fucking hate nap. Because I always wake up feeling real groggy, and I've never ever had a nap and felt better afterwards.
No, because I can't, they don't work for me.
I'm a big fan of naps. If I can do it, definitely. If I can do it, usually it's in that kind of like late afternoon time. If I can do about like 25 minutes, I'm so happy.
If I could do them, I'd be a huge fan, because then I think I could fix the deficit from getting up so early. But I can't nap. I just can't do it.
I can't nap. I just can't.
Yeah. Naps, as long as you get a nap out of it. There's nothing worse than a half a nap. You know, like a napping, I mean, about to drop, oh, no, didn't have time for naps. Something else happened, I had to go and do that, right, okay.
Yes, I will be wanting a nap in the early evening, 5 minutes, you know, just to recharge the batteries.
No, because it means I don't sleep at night.
Oh, sleep is totally underrated. Sleep is a beautiful thing. I love my sleep. It's a sacred time for me.
Overrated.
Well, a lot of studies, you know, say you're going to not live that long if you don't have good sleep patterns that are repeated.
That it should be consistent. You should get like the same hours every night, because that's the way the rhythms, your body rhythms work.
I think it's very important. If I don't get my sleep routine, I get very upset and angry.
I surprise myself how I can exist on a few hours sleep.
Theory on sleep in general is very important, obviously. Definitely not overrated. No. Underrated. Thank
you. 7 to 8 hours per night you should be getting. Don't go on any device 30 minutes before bed, or else you won't go to sleep.
It's one of the most important things of the day.
I'm always trying to get more of it. I should probably have more of it at night rather than in the morning. That's what I have been told that I should do.
I think it's different for everyone. I think there might be a genetic background, but I don't know anything about that.
neither overrated or underrated.
I've got terrible, terrible sleep habits, and I hope they don't come around and bite me in the ass one day. You know, all I can say is just you get some sleep.
And I hope no one listening fell asleep because that was too long. I thought it was perfect length. But anyway, one thing I took from that was that no one seems to get the amount of sleep that they want. Everyone, pretty much everyone that I asked, all said, I aim for this amount, but I get this amount. Everyone's underselling themselves, except Will Parsonson, who aims for 8 hours sleep and gets 10. So he's the exception to the rule, like you said. So I caught up with Dr. Andy Veal from the NZ Respiratory and Sleep Institute, and he was kind enough to chat for me for 5 minutes and give an expert's comment on the matter. Although, shout out to Katie Doyle, who I believe is now the BFM sleep expert. She was very well researched in her findings. But I began by asking Dr. Andy Veal about how important sleep really is in the grand scheme of things.
Well, it's extremely important. If you completely lack sleep, then there are a whole lot of consequences, both metabolic as well as mood and functional.
Right, and is it the same? Should everyone be getting the same amount of sleep? Because we're getting a very different answers about how much sleep our people here are getting.
No, average sleep is around 8 hours, but the range is sort of 6 to 10. And there are natural long sleepers and there are natural short sleepers, hence the run-in families.
And also, it's if your parents are one thing, you often would take after them, is that a sort of...
Yeah.
Right, that's interesting. One thing I've noticed, Andy, is that sometimes when I have a short sleep, say only 5 hours, I'll wake up in the morning feeling energized, and often I sleep for 9 hours and I feel the opposite waking up. What is the... In a nutshell, basically, we don't have all day, but what's the cause of this?
The energized nature in the morning is your body's attempt to overcome sleep inertia, and you'll often find that you'll crash late in the afternoon.
Definitely the case, because I usually have to have a nap in the afternoon if I'm... Actually, while we're on the topic of naps, because this is very polarizing, a lot of people here were not fans of naps, but some were big fans. What's your take on naps in the or any time of the day, really?
Oh, it's a proven benefit. If you're short of sleep, then short naps, less than 30 minutes, are refreshing, and that's because you wake from stage 2 sleep. If you wait for longer than, say, 40, 50 minutes, you can wake from slow wave sleep and you feel absolutely ratchet.
Ratchet. I know the exact feeling. I think everyone out there does.
It's called sleep inertia, but ratchet describes it.
That's a good the ratchet sleep. Well, often I found myself falling into a 3-hour nap in the afternoon, and I definitely feel exactly how you described just then.
Yeah.
Interesting. And so then I guess moving on, do's or golden rules of sleep or some do's and don'ts, what would your general consensus be on that?
Well, get enough is the first thing. Most of us don't sleep adequate duration of time. Second thing is that you should have a routine, a bed-going routine, just in the same way we train a 2-year-old to go to bed. If you have tea, watch some TV, read a book, have a bath, clean your teeth, go to bed, then you should stick to the same sort of routine every night, because that just programs the body ready for sleep.
Right, and if, say, I'm sure everyone at most ages has had trouble sleeping at times, would you bring it back to that routine, or is there other little tricks that we can get ourselves to if we're having trouble sleep, like counting sheep or anything like that? Or is counting sheep a myth?
No, it's not a full myth. It's just a way of switching off an active brain from the daytime stuff to the evening stuff. So reading a relatively bland book or a magazine to switch off from the day into the evening. But if you're in bed struggling to get to sleep, it's often best to get out of bed, do something else until you start to feel tired again, and then go through your bed-going routine to get back to sleep.
Rather than lying in the bed for 4 hours and...
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, this is good advice. I'm going to take a lot from this, Andy. Thank you. And just quickly, I'm very interested in sleep talking. I'm a sleep talker, I've been told. I can't remember it, but sleep talking in general, is there something that makes some people sleep talk and not others?
Yeah, again, it runs in families, so there's some sort of a genetic component to it. tends to occur in childhood and you tend to grow out of it as you get older. It tends to occur in the first half of the night rather than the second half of the night. And it can be, the patient never remembers it. It's not harmful, sleep talking. It's in the same family of disorders as sleep walking.
Right.
What we call the slow wave parasomnias.
We'll leave it at the slow wave parasomnias. Andy, I won't take all the rest of your day up. I could talk to you all day about it, but I've got to shoot and I'm sure you're busy as well. But thank you very much for speaking with me today.
Okay, good luck.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.